Mrs. Witka, interviewed by Amy Peterson, April 27th. Mrs. Witka, why did your family come to the United States?
Well, my dad had come here 3 years before we did. And at that time in Finland, the idea was to come to America. It was a land of gold. Everybody had that idea. Mm-hmm. That was a very rich country. And then after he'd been here 3 years, he bought a home in Michigan for us. And we came then.
Mm-hmm. And then what was your first job when you came here?
Well, I quit school in the 10th grade. And I decided to go to work. And I went to Brody's clothing store. It was run by, I don't know how you're supposed to say that.
Go ahead.
And he was a German Jew, and he could talk many different languages. Having peddled first, you know, in the early years, the peddlers used to go around with the peddler's pack, you know, on their back that way. Well, then he established this store, and it was a good-sized store. It had the men's department and the women's department. And I worked in the yardage department, selling needles, pins, laces, everything in that order. And the first instructions I received from him, that I was to sell something to everyone that came to the store. But, we had a box that had white handkerchiefs in it, which we sold for 5 cents, and I was to sell that to any man that came. If he didn't buy anything else, he had to buy a handkerchief. Same with the women. We had pins, needles, and thread. If you didn't sell anything else, you sold one of those items. But a sale had to be made. And I was so worried about losing this job, so I tried all these things. And my wages were wonderful. $5 a month was my beginning wage for 12 hours of work. And having a mile to go back and forth twice a day, coming to work in the morning and at noon and going home in the evening. So it wasn't very much, but... So then he used to... he loved to eat a lot of apples. And he always had me go to the store and buy them. He said, "You get better measure than I do for my money." So I worked 3 years and 8 months for him, and I was quite tired of working for him, and I had wanted to quit for a long time, but well, we had a kind of a argument about wages always, and he kept on raising it just dollar at a time, which those days, and you had no laws or anything to protect anyone that was working. There was no vacations, no time off or anything, and if you were off a day, you were deducted right away for it. So it's mighty different now. And anyway, then I finally got another job in North Dakota in a country store that I answered the ad in a newspaper. And having gotten tired of my job with Brody, I decided to write. And I got a telegram right away and says how much wages I wanted. I had no idea what I would need on kind of having to pay board. So I just wrote that I want $55. And that was quite a bit more than I was getting in Ironwood, Michigan at that time. So. I got another telegram, says come immediately. And they wanted someone that could keep books, speak the Finnish language, well as read and write it. And I was able to do all those things, and having been a bookkeeper for Mr. Brody also, I was well equipped to do this job. And getting into North Dakota, into those wild, wide fields, a brain that looked like an ocean waving in the summertime. And I loved it. From the first time that I ever saw it, I really did like it. And I worked there for many years and finally married the boss's brother. And really, really did like it out there.
How old were you when you came here to America?
I was a little better than 6 years old.
Do you remember anything about the old country?
Yes, I do. I remember we lived in a town that was much bigger than Rock Springs. And it's in the southern part of Finland. And the name of it is P-O-R-I, it's pronounced Pori. And it goes also by a Swedish name, Björneborg, because Finland at one time was 700 years under the Swedish rule, and so many of them had double names that way. And it's a seaport, and that is where we lived. And before we came to America, we went to where my uncle was living and to say goodbye to them, and that was called Bomarku. I don't know how many miles it was from there, and we went on a train there. And it was sort of a farming country, but it had a big port also, because my uncle was one of the worked in on those ships. I don't know what kind of work he did there, but that was his job, always at these ships. That he never went out with them, but he worked on them. And I can remember the wide fields. My mother wanted to go and walk, because this was terrain that she was had covered many times. And she was going to go by herself, and I saw her going, and I decided I was going to run after her. And she got quite far ahead of me, and as I went, I fell into a sort of a old garbage pit that was, all wet. And then, of course, I started yelling for help, and my mother turned back, and they pulled me out of there somehow. She had to get help. And they brought me into a sauna, the Finnish sauna, and I was all cleaned up. So that was one of my experiences there in Finland. And then the last day, they fixed the sauna for us, because that was quite a thing, and they put white sheets even on the benches and everything. And we had our last sauna in Finland there before we came to America.
Did you come over on a boat?
Yes. And we had a terrible storm coming over the North Sea. See, the North Sea is very rough. And those days, all the ships weren't so large. And we came tourist class, and there were so many people that were sick. My mother and I were about the only ones in that whole outfit that wasn't seasick. Neither one of us. So there was a few people then that they wanted to know if they could go sleep in the, where all the trunks and everything like that was, because it was clean in there. And they said it was all right if we wanted to take the mattress off our bed and carry it over there, and we did. And I had a doll named Eva. And I never went anywhere without Eva. She was a yellow-haired doll. And we were sleeping there, and all at once we woke up, just, I don't know, tons of water seemed to come on us. The storm was so heavy, it tore the tarpaulin off the deck. And we thought we were all drowning, and all I asked my mother, where's Eva? I was just worried about getting Eva. And then a man came down and said not to worry, that it had just torn the tarpaulin off, and that they would cover it. But then we had to move out of there into our room that we had, in the tourist class. So that was one, and that's where I learned, I had French bread and tea that I just loved. But they had smoked fish, and to this day, I can't stand hardly the smell of smoked fish. I didn't like it.
Where did you dock when you came to?
In New York.
New York? Do you remember what it was like?
No, I don't remember much of that. I remember coming to Ellis Island. And, my mother was worried that because her eyes kind of watered, that if she had anything, because they were very particular, that your eyesight, that you didn't have this, I can't remember what they called, because they were worried about that you wouldn't transmit any kind of disease like that. That's all I remember. And then I remember getting into the train, and I had my first, I saw bananas being sold, and I told my mother, I'd sure like one of those bananas. I didn't know what they were. And of course, when she did buy some, I couldn't eat them anyhow. It took me years before I learned to eat bananas.
Did you come over with other Finns, or?
Yes, there was quite a few other Finnish people. Mm-hmm. You know, they were going to different parts of America.
And you went to Michigan?
Yes. And my dad was working the day we got there. He was working in the mine. It's an iron mining town, Ironwood was. And he got the whole sum of 75 cents a day, working 12 hours a day in the mines. And they had no protection of any kind like the people have today. Mm. And it was a beautiful day. It was the 23rd of July, I think, that we got here. And so my dad had worked that day, and he asked other people to come and get us and bring us to this home. Well, these people had fixed a lovely lunch for us. And they had raisin pie. I thought it was such a wonderful food, that I asked my mother if that was the kind of food that the angels ate in heaven. So to this day, I call raisin pie angel pie.
Then how long did you live in Ironwood?
From 1903 to 1918, that's 15 years.
And why did you leave Ironwood?
On account of this job, you know, that I got in North Dakota. That's why.
Okay.
And we did, there was a lot of berry picking land over there because a lot of, you know, woods, you know, that way. And we used to pick blueberries and raspberries all summer long. And we'd trek out early in the morning and spend all day picking berries. And sometimes we'd sell them at 25 cents. For a 5-pound large bucket of berries. And they had to have a nice heap on so that people would be interested in buying them. So you didn't shake them around very much. If you shook them around, well, then they got squashy.
Okay, how did you finally end up in Rock Springs?
Well, my dad was working out here. And my mother had developed lung trouble. And the doctor said we should get into drier climate than what Michigan was, and you know, where there was a lot of dry sun like it is here. And my dad was sure we wouldn't like Rock Springs because he knew we had been used to trees and grass and flowers and everything like they grew so easily in Michigan. But after we came here, we drove here with a Ford car from North Dakota, and I liked it from the first day, and I still like it. I love this country. And then there has been so many things like I went to work for the Union Pacific. I got an office job working under Miss Taylor, and I worked there for nearly a year. So,
what was Rock Springs like then?
Well, it was windy, as is now, and there was wooden sidewalks. I don't think there was cement sidewalk any place. And the first day that we came, came away from the hotel, the wind was blowing so hard it was just picking up little rocks. It just peppered your face, you know, all over. And I know we stayed on Pilot Butte at that time, and the city was still then divided with this Bitter Creek that ran through, and there was a bridge across there. And I know the first time I went to a store, they were talking Greek in there. It was a bakery shop. And I couldn't, it felt so funny to go in there and not really understand anything. And the next store I went to, they were I think they were Japanese, that were running this fish market. And I went to see if I could get some butter. And I thought how strange it is that no one is hardly speaking English around here. And the situation for getting a home to live in at that time was just as bad as it is today. We had to stay 3 weeks in a commercial hotel before we ever found a 2-room little apartment that we could live in. And we had to live 5 months in that before we got a house.
Were there other Finns here in Rock
Springs? Yes, there was a great deal of Finns. There was about 800 at that time. where today we have a few over 100.
They were all working in the mines?
They were all working in the mines, yes.
What did they do for entertainment? Did they have...
Well, the Finnish are great for dramatics, and they always have a hall, and this was called a Finn Hall, and they gave plays almost every other week, and I know I took part in quite a number of plays. But that seems to be something that the Finnish people like to do. And sometimes then, if our play was quite a successful one, we made a trip to Hana, and we made a trip to Kemmer, you know, to play these. It's like they do nowadays with the school kids.
Is there anything else that you remember about Rock Springs, Ann?
Not so very much, but we were in a group that liked to go out in the mountains. We did a lot of fishing and things like that. My husband liked to hunt and everything. And of course, my first husband, Mr. Husa, was hurt in a Quailey mine in 1926. And he died 3 days later than from this accident.
And then how did you meet your second husband, Dan?
Well, he was a friend. We had moved into the house that they moved away from because a strike had come here, and they were going out to the West Coast to do fishing. And then when they came back, we were just friends of the family, and there was three brothers there. And that's how, then later on, I happened to get together on that.
Were there a lot of clannishness, or did everybody get together, or did you stick in?
No, there wasn't too much clannishness. It's kind of like, you know, especially on the Finnish people, when they went to this Finnish hall, they had dances every Saturday night, and everybody, you know, everybody was more or less very friendly. Mm-hmm. That way, that's all I can ever think of. It's just like they still say that this is a friendly town. Like Carmen was saying this morning, there's some man here from Minnesota, and he said he never wants to leave here because he just loves it here. And he said it's so friendly, the people are so friendly. And you hear that all the time from a lot of these newer people.
Were your parents disappointed in what they found here in America, or was it what they expected? What did they expect when they came here?
Well, I don't know what they expected, but I never heard them complain. And even if the wages were so very low, they still were able to get an 8-room house, which I have no idea what they had paid for it. But evidently, it wasn't very much, you know, that way.
Why did they leave? Why was the thing to leave Finland in the first place?
Well, I think at that time, you know, America was so publicized as a wonderful land to come to. And it must be that my dad had a wanderlust, and his younger brother had come the first year to Duluth. But by the time we came here, his brother had died. I don't know what really happened, that he was dead. Mm-hmm. And that's what I think was the first thing after the come, because he had written that he liked America.
And then his writing encouraged.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Did you have any trouble in immigration coming through?
No, not whatever. No.
I noticed that you're a really good painter. When did you when did you really start painting, doing a lot of painting?
Well, not until after 1953, but I had had a good training in Arnold, Michigan. At that time, it was really surprising when I think of it now, what wonderful opportunity we had there. Once a week, we had a very special art teacher that would come, and all we worked was with the Prang watercolors of 5 colors, charcoal and ink, and that's where I got started on that. And I was always very anxious to do it, but never had any opportunity. I never met anybody that was doing artwork. And then when I came to Rock Springs, I was very surprised at the school situation here because very little art was done here in any way or form. And then finally in 1953, I met a lady and she said, they're going to start an arts class in Green River. Miss Helen Taylor was teaching art there, and she had taught for many years. And that was when I started getting my first night school lessons. And then I carried on from there that I've been doing what I had time for and things like that.
Did you do any painting just for recreation before that?
No, I really didn't do anything. I did this in this respect. When I bought my shop, then textile painting came in. And I just loved it, and I did as much as I had time for that. Well, then after the textile paints came, then we got figurines. So I bought figurines by the tons, biggest shipments, 500 pounds and 800 pounds. Mm. And I had classes for people in the store, what I could have room for, and taught them how to paint figurines. And I was thoroughly delighted with that because it was in the field of painting.
Tell me more about your store that you have. I understand it was old library building.
This store that I have now, when Union Pacific was closing down all these camps, well, the houses were being sold, and Mr. Hester was in charge of them, and he called me up one day and he said, we have one more good building over here. And he said, it's the old library building. He said, you ought to buy that and set up your own shop, you know, near your house, because he knew that we had this lot here already. So that's how we had it moved into town, and it took us about 6 months to get it ready that I moved into it.
Wasn't that a big business venture for you then?
Well, it seemed at the time, but I never thought of failing or anything like that. People told me I was very foolish to have moved on DeWard Drive. But it was one of the smartest moves that I ever made, because this is where all the business has been all this time. Mm-hmm. And I've met surely hundreds, thousands of people, and I have acquired such good friends that I still get letters from all over the country. And when my husband died, I got over 400 cards from all over the United States. People had heard and that had met me just at the store. And through the mail here, this last year in January, I got my first letter from a woman from Alabama. And she has been writing to me ever since and sending rock orders. And last Mother's Day, I was so surprised. I got a most beautiful azalea plant that she had seen that I would get here. And people you have never met. And she's always saying, why don't you write oftener? And she is a teacher. And I can't see where my letters are that interesting to her, but she likes them. And then now again, she sent me a pop for Christmas. She sent me a beautiful leather pocketbook, towels, candy, and all those kind of things. It's surprising, people you have never met, and you make such wonderful friends of them.
Where did you ever get the idea to even open a shop?
I don't know. I think because I have been in business all my life from 15 years old. And it gets into your blood. That's all I could think of is running a store or working in a store. And I've often wondered about it later, that what drove me to that. But I've never been sorry, and I enjoyed every minute of it. I liked the people, and I liked serving. And I never sold anything that I didn't know everything about it. That if people wanted to know something, I was able to tell them. Same with my rocks. I learned as much as I could, which it's just a very small smatter that I know, but it was more than a lot of people knew, and they were interested, and I would try to tell them in all the interesting places where they're found. Like I found some wonderful fossils years ago, past Little America there. I found lower jaw of a freshwater fish-eating alligator that I have, which is one of my prides, I think, that I have found.
I understand you had some antiques, too, in your shop, and that you got some of them from Miss Taylor when you worked for her.
Well, I had a department in the store, antiques, which I thoroughly enjoyed. But then the greatest amount of antiques that I ever acquired was when Miss Taylor, whom I had worked for years ago, passed away, and she had a big house full of the most wonderful antique furniture, dishes, silverware, anything you could imagine. She had stored it away and never had used it. And having known her, I was very interested in the people that acquired the property after her death, came to see if I would help them, you know, in disposing of this material or all the things that she had. So they came to ask me if I would help them, and I said, well, I would be glad to help them. And it was really a storehouse of the most wonderful antiques. She had received many wonderful things from the Chinese that had worked here, because she was a bookkeeper, I think, for over 40 years for Union Pacific, and everybody liked her very much. And it was surprising the beautiful, beautiful things she had, and handmade things. And I have two pieces of needlepoint, which I'm having framed. One has already been framed in Salt Lake, and this needlepoint background is done with wool yarn, but the design is all beadwork, and they are just gorgeous. And she had beautiful vases and all kinds of very good dishes that had come from Europe that no one knew that she had. And it was really, really something.
And did people come from all over?
Yes, So, they came from, I had a shop there, and people would ask me, did anyone have antiques? And while they were selling them, I would always direct them there. And I went there one night myself, and I helped to sell about $500 worth in one evening to different people that came there, because they had no idea what was valuable and what wasn't. And I think 90% of the things were very valuable. They had some of the most beautiful old stoves and beautiful china closets, and everything was full with the most beautiful dishes and things.